the boysem and the shaman lemaor ulashama mishcha ulatares hasamim. Okay, so this is the boysem. Boysem over here, different types of besamim. There's besamim and the shaman lemaor for lighting. The shaman for what shaman? There's shaman. There are two types of shaman. The shaman zayizoch, and there is shaman for ulashama mishcha ulatares hasamim. Shaman mishcha is not the same. What is the difference between the shaman Lama'or and the Shemin HaMishcha? The Shemin HaMishcha is much higher quality. The Shemin HaMishcha is the first drops of oil which come out of the grapes. The Shemin HaMishcha is the second highest quality. The oil that was needed for the Shemin HaMishcha is not the same oil that they use, the same quality oil that was used for the Shemin Lama'or. Shemin Lama'or has to be Shemin Zayis Zoch Kosis Lama'or. And Chazal Darshan Kosis Lama'or Viloy Leminochas. Also, there was oil that was used for every single mincha. Every single mincha was Balul of Hashemen. And the Shemen that was used for the Shemen HaMishcha, which was used to make the anointing oil, the oil that was used to inaugurate the new utensils. New utensils, they were sprinkled oil upon it. And likewise, the Kohen Gadol and the Melech, they sprinkled upon them Shemen HaMishcha. So if I'm not mistaken, the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil that was used for the Shemen HaMishcha was not the same oil that was the quality of the shemen for the menorah. The menorah had a much higher quality. And let's see what it says over here in the Targum. The yos busma, the yos mishcha. Busma is the besamim. Okay, these are different spices that were used for the ketores. The yos mishcha, oil, le anharusa, for illumination. Ule mishcha, and oil dirvusa. Dirvusa means, I guess, it means for anointment. The Keteres Busmai and the Keteres, and for the Keteres Hasamim. So we have to really clarify what over here is going on over here. I'm not really exactly sure what's going on over here. We have oil that was, then we have the Boisem and the Shomen. Lema'or, or the Shomen HaMishcha, the Keteres Hasamim, and the Keteres. So I'm not really sure what this, I'm not really sure how you put all this together. What is the Boisem? The boysim over here is the spices. What did they need the spices for? They needed the spices to make the Shemen HaMishcha. When they made a special anointing oil that they added to the oil, a whole bunch of ingredients. The ingredients that were added was called the boysim. There was Shemen from Ma'or and the Shemen HaMishcha. And then this, the Lektores Hasamim, this is an entirely separate thing. This is the Ketores. The Ketores had Samonim Samin. Now, by the way, what is the difference between boysem and sam? So the difference is one is edible and one is not edible. See, there's besamim and then there are samim. Besamim are items that you can eat. You can eat them. If you don't want to eat them, but in addition to eating them, you also can grind them up and use them as a fragrance. Samim are ingredients that are not edible. They're totally not edible. They're only there to use to go and extract their fragrance or extract some type of chemical, some quality from these items to use it for something else. Okay, that's a very interesting difference. I just learned that not that long ago. Besamim and samim. And besamim and samim, both of them produce fragrance. But the difference is, something that is in the category of besamim, if you want, you can eat it. It's ordinarily used as part of an ingredient you put into a dish. Or you extract it, maybe if you don't actually eat the item itself, at least you extract from it. You extract it, and you can put the flavor into a dish, into food, and you can eat it. A sam is something that you do not put in your mouth. A sam is only something which you apply to your body, or you add to, let's say, to oil to produce what we call the Shemen HaMishcha. So these are very two different types of things, besamim and samim. Okay, so Targum here says, Yas busma, yas mishcha, le'an harusa, le'l mishcha, dirvusa, le'toris busmaya. And the Ketores, now notice, he translates the word the same exact way. When it comes to the boysem, it's busma. Busma, beis vav samach. And when it comes to the samim, it's also bus maya. So it's very interesting that the Targum really alludes that there's very little difference between the word besomim and samim. The Targum, we learned yesterday, this is a pattern that we come across very often. In the Targum, he reduces the vocabulary of Lashon HaKodesh to simpler words. Many times the Targum will translate different words exactly the same way, which means that the Lashon HaKodesh has more nuances, a greater, richer vocabulary than Aramaic, which is surprising because we know today that the Lashon HaKodesh was from the smallest languages in the world. Many languages have many, many, many more words than Lashon HaKodesh. I remember once looked this up. It's fascinating. How many words are there in the English dictionary? How many words are there in Latin? How many words are there in Spanish, in Portuguese, in Russian, in Farsi? A lot of languages have an incredible number of words, enormous number of words. Lashon HaKodesh is from the smallest languages in the world. And yet, the Targum, he takes this language and he reduces it even more by very often taking two words in the Torah that are very similar, and he translates both words exactly the same way to indicate they're really the same word. For example, in this case, we have the word boisem and the word samim, besomim and samim. The Targum is translating them both as the same exact word. And I told, remember, I learned not that long ago, is that what taka is the difference between besomim and samim? The difference is that besomim are types of items that produce fragrance, which can also be used in food preparation. Either it can actually be eaten, or even if it's not eaten, at least we can extract its flavor, and it would be put, the flavor would be added to a dish. Whereas something in the category of samim cannot and should not be digested, and in fact, it can be poisonous. Sam many times means poison. It's poisonous, but when we extract the flavor is beneficial for the purpose that we're trying to achieve. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. There is no Rashi in this pasuk, so we go to the next pasuk. Kol ish v'isha, asher nadav osam limam, every man and woman, asher nadav limam osam, whose heart has brought about a desire. Remember, we learned last time, the last 2 days, the word limam always is associated with the word desire when it's juxtaposed to the word nadav. Lohavi, to bring l'chol ha-malacha, asher tziv Hashem la'aseh, Hashem commanded to do, b'yad Moshem, heviv v'neishol nidavol l'Hashem. The same repetition over here. Look over here in the English. Thus the Israelites. Okay, where did he get that? Where did he get the word the Israelites? It says, kol ish v'isha, every man and woman. He somehow injects the Israelites. I don't know where he got that from. Kol ish v'isha sher, which, nadav libam oisam, all the men and the women whose hearts move them. Okay, we're going to learn not to move, but whose hearts, who had a desire in their heart. Asher nadav libam. These two words, according to the Unkel, is an expression which means they had a desire. Asher nadav libam oisam. Okay, that they had a desire. Oisam means they had a sincere desire. Lahavi, to bring. L'chol ha-malacha, to bring anything for the work. Asher which, Tziva Hashem, Hashem commanded lasos biad Moshe, which was supervised by Moshe, heviv v'nei Yisrael, those men and women, they brought nidavol l'Hashem. This seems like a little bit of repetition, but a little bit of verbosity. Let's see, Targum says, v'chol gevar v'itz every man and woman, the Israel libon, like we said, imhoin, now with them. This is a hard expression. The Israel means desired. Their heart desired with them, la'ay, saw ought to bring, l'chol to bring, l'chol ividta, all of the work, di which, v'akein Hashem l'mebad midah d'mayshu, which Hashem commanded to be done to the hands of Moshe, I see some Yisrael, and Yisrael, they did, they brought, nidavta, a gift, kodam Hashem. All right, fine. Let's now go to the next pasuk. V'ayoyme Moshe. Moshe says, "Lo b'nei Yisrael uksi karashem b'shem b'tzalel ben Uri ben Hur l'matei Yehuda." Now we're coming to describe for the very first time who were the craftsmen. I don't think we had them before. This is the first time that we are introduced to the people who actually built, who crafted the Mishkan. And who are they? See, I call them by name. Bezalel. Who is Bezalel? Ben Uri. Then Hur. He was the grandson of Hur. Hur was murdered. Hur tried to prevent Klal Yisrael from fashioning the Egel Hazav, and when the people did not want to listen, they rose up and they murdered Hur. So it would seem here that it's like a concession, it's a nechama, that Hur's grandson was selected to be the master craftsman for the Mishkan. I specified him, Bezalel, Ben Uri, Ben Chulamat Yehuda. I remember, Mr. Glatter, you're here. I remember many years ago, you gave a drasha on Bezalel. I remember one night we were speaking about Bezalel. You made a drasha, bar mitzvah drasha. Bezalel was 13 years old. I'm losing you. The sound's not so good.
Grandson for bar mitzvah.
Right. So I remember that. Bezalel was 13 years old. 13 years old when he was selected to lead in to be the master craftsman. Okay, let's see what it says over here the Targum. V'amar Moshe said l'vnei Yisrael chazosi derabi Hashem. Now, what does it mean, derabi Hashem b'shem Bezalel? Hashem has Hashem ru'u kora. What is what kora? It means to call. Over here, they have over here, this word over here is in bold. Derabi. Derabi means Hashem has, I think, guided. Derabi Hashem b'shem Bezalel bar uri var hor l'shifta di Yehuda. Let me take a look at what's over here in the Ma'at. This is Vayakel Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed. Here it is, Bezalel, Pasuk Lamed, Rabbi Shegidel. It translates the Aramaic word Shegidel, has been raised. Okay, so that's a very unusual translation. That's not what it says. Ru'usi, see that. Koro Hashem has called him b'shem. Drabi Hashem b'shem Bezalel, Hashem has elevated by the name of Bezalel. I mean, what is really going on? This is a little bit bizarre what it means. I'm going to look at this other sefer. Maybe it will provide some insight. In the Yakel, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed. Okay, Ru Kora Hashem B'Tzim Chazo D'Rabi Hashem B'Shoim B'Tzal Ru Shegidel Hashem. Hashem elevated Hashem in the name of Bezalel. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. It means to elevate. What does it mean to elevate in this context? Let's see Rashi. Chor Beno Shel Miriam Hoya. Okay, he was the son of Miriam. There were three leaders in the three leaders that led Klal Yisrael. Amram is the father. It's really amazing. Amram really is the one that gets all the credit. Who led the Jewish people out of Egypt? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam was an equal partner with Moshe the Aaron. It was Miriam's merit that there was water, there was the Be'er. And Moshe, it's interesting, from all three, is Amram had three sons, had three children. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Moshe had two sons, Elazar v. Isamar. He had four sons, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar v. Isamar. So what happened? Nadav and Avihu died, and Elazar v. Isamar, they were the Kohanim. They succeeded in being the Kohanim. Aaron and the Skan Kohen was Elazar, and they succeeded him. Miriam, she had a son, Hur. Hur was murdered. And Hur's son succeeded, Hur's grandson, Bezalel, so his grandson, he became the master craftsman. So Miriam had Nachas. It was Miriam's great-grandson that built the Mishkan. Moshe, his sons, nothing. Nothing became of his sons. Were not. Moshe wanted his sons to succeed him, and Hashem told him, no, Yehoshua will succeed you. Moshe's grandchildren were janitors in, or one of them was a janitor in the base Avodah Zarah. Okay, but after that, what about the next succeeding generations? I think the succeeding generations, I'm not sure what became succeeding, but I think if you think about over here, the three leaders of Klal Yisrael, what became of their children? Moshe, what became of Moshe's children? Nothing. Doesn't say, I mean, you can't say nothing. Obviously, they were extremely great beyond our wildest imagination. But Moshe's two children, Elozar and Gershon, were not even present at Yitzias Mitzrayim. They did not witness, according to many, they did not witness Kriyas Yams. They came later on. They were with Yisrael. According to some opinions, Yisrael came after Matan Torah. So Moshe's children were not even present at the time of Matan Torah. They were not present at the time of Kriyas Yamsov. They were not. They were not part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Isn't that shocking? Moshe, his children, were not participants to a degree, whatever that means. Miriam, her son, was murdered. Aaron, two of his children died an unnatural death, and the other two children survived, and they went on to succeed him. It's very fascinating. Talk about people, very famous people. And you analyze, you talk about, you know, what became, what you look at these people, and you look at these people at their children, it sometimes is very, very disturbing. So what is it? So we learned the Targum. The Targum was something very bizarre. The Rabbi. What does Rashi say? Chur b'no shel Miriam hoya. Okay, next pasuk. Hashem filled him, this man, Bitzalel, with the Spirit of God. The chachma with wisdom, b'svuna understanding of das, uvechol malacha. So you can ask the question: what is the difference between uvechol malacha? If a person has wisdom, if a person has tivuna, if a person has das, doesn't that mean he knows how to be a craftsman? The person is super brilliant, chachma. So that means automatically that he knows everything. Yet it says uvechol malacha. It's fascinating. V'chol melacha is not included in chokhma, tevuna, and das. It's a different category. You can be the wisest man in the world. You can be the most discerning man in the world. You can have the most knowledge in the world. Yet, it's another category to know how to do things. To know how to get things done. To know how to go and change the oil in your car. No one changes oil anymore today. Anyone change oil today? Probably years ago, people used to change the oil. Now you bring the car into the shop and they change the oil for you. Who changes the oil today? Okay, this is an incredible thing over here. There's Chochma Das. It's a fourth category. Never really appreciated that until we learned tonight. Okay, there's no Rashi. Targum says, Va'ashleim imei ruach. And look at this incredible Targum Ungolus. This is something that you would expect to see in Targum Yonis and Benuziel, and yet it's here in Targum Ungolus. Hashem filled them up with Ruach Nevuah min Kodom Hashem. That's what it means, Ruach Elokim. Incredible. Ruach Elokim means he's a prophet. Prophecy. In addition, B'choch Masah, B'such L'sonu, B'such L'sonu. What does that word mean? Okay, there's another word for wisdom. U'v'mada, Teire U'mada. Mada, knowledge. U'v'chol Ivida. Incredible. What does all this mean? So what does it say over here? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Nothing. And what does it say here? In Pasuk Lamed Aleph, here it says something. Here it is. Besuch le sanu. Yesh oimim shemukaroi milosh nakasav seichel. Bes chalfus ha'isios shin and samach. Haragil Baramis. V'var kos radak shenosan ha-sechel b'amereinim rabim hu loshen sechel av b'shekosa b'ois samach. Okay. Nosan ha-sechel, sechel with the samach. So therefore, sechel is something very interesting. I think this is very interesting. But it says over here, b'such le-son. We always say a person has sechel. This fellow, he has no sechel. The way we spell sechel is with a sin. Not with a samach. Yet, more often than not, we can either change the letter sin with the letter samach. So here it says, "I know so ruach elokim Hashem filled him with nevuah, bechokhma, with knowledge, besvuna, the translation of Sivuna, according to Unkelus, means Seichel. Bina means Seichel. How do you differentiate Seichel from Chochmah and Das? Colloquially, we commonly assume Seichel means to be street smart. You know, be very wise. You can know Kol HaTorah Kula. You can be a GD or a PhD. But when it comes to simple things, to maneuver, to know how to survive in this world, to be street smart, just to know what to do in this world, you know how to find the parking spot, street smart. That not everyone has. That's how we colloquially translate the word seichel. Is that what it means over here? Is that what it means? This chokhmah, this tevuna. And Uncle says besuch lesanu. Such lesanu is the same as seichel. And instead of a samach, instead of a sin, the way we spell it with a sin, they believe it's spelled with a samach. Okay, so that's another translation. Okay. Now I don't think because Rashi says, what does it mean seichel? Rashi learns tevuna, not over here. And Rashi says bina means to be maven, dover, mitoich dover. Now here he says such lesanu. Maybe we can say Rashi disagrees. Maybe it's an entirely different type of understanding. I don't know. Okay, now we go to pasuk chav beis. V'lachshon nachashavas. The next thing is to be able to have thoughts. La'asoyis va'zohav va'kesev va'nechoshes. Thoughts. What does it mean to have thoughts? So what does it say over here in Unkelus? U'le'alofo u'man von. What does that mean? It means to teach or to learn a craft. U'le'alofo, to learn a craft, a trade. L'me'bad, and use that trade to do b'dahava u'v'kaspo u'vin chosho. So when it says v'lachshev ma'chashavois, he translates this to mean to study. You can't just come into the Beis HaMikdash and go, you can't just come into Moshe and go build the Mishkan. You have to first go to the library, go online and get some books, speak to some experts, and learn the trade, learn the craft. V'lachshev ma'chashavois means to learn a trade. Isn't that amazing? Interesting expression. You tell a person, go to college. What are you telling? Go learn something. You get an education. You're telling him, lachshoiv machashavos, to think. We like to translate this as to think, but it's not what it says. Ule alofo, to learn, to study. E u man von. That's not a literal translation of these words. Uncle is saying something very deep over here. What kind of trade should you go learn? Learn how to be a goldsmith, a silversmith, and a coppersmith. Okay, what is Rashi saying? There is none. Let's go further. What is it in the Atzari? Because we find over here, yes, we have over here in the Atzari, Ule alofo um novon, Ule lame, to learn a trade. Tzorchian. Eich nilmad ze miloshna mikra, oi tzorchian, lama ein ze nechlam b'masha kosav l'kamon ulo hiris nosan b'libo. Okay, he asks questions. It's a very interesting translation, which he does not really tell us. Now, here I have another sefer that says, Ule alafo nevon, ulam rumnes, uperu shoy, mechadesh nios, midaita, sha'af, hamamsi, mechadesh nios, nikra, malam le'atzmai, mechim ma'uch, losh ma'mikra. It means to learn on your own, to learn the trade on your own. Okay, he does not understand very much. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk lamid gimel. Ule hoyrois nosan libo. Hashem put in his heart, hoyrois. What does that mean? Who he, the Oholiyah ben Achi Samach Lamateidan, to instruct. Okay, Ulohoyrois means to give directions. Ulohoyrois means like Hoyra. Torah. Torah comes from the word Hoyra, means to instruct. Oh, did I skip? I'm sorry, I skipped. Uvacharesha 7. Okay, Uvacharesha 7. Okay, Uvacharesha 7. Uvacharesha 7. What else? There are more things he has to know. He has to know to Uvacharesha 7. He has to know how to cut stone. Okay, a chorosh means a craftsman of stone. Lemalois, what does that mean? To fill up. We know that the stones, they filled the mishpitzos. They filled the cavities. uvacharoshas eitz, to be a craftsman of wood, la'asois, to do b'chol meleches machashodes, all different types of craftsmanship. What does that mean exactly? What does this mean exactly? So what does Rashi say? No, Rashi, what does the Targum say? Umanus even tova. Okay, even a good stone, he adds in the word tova, la ashlama, to put the stone in the socket. Uve nagorus, a nagor. A nagor is a craftsman. Or of wood, lemebad, to work, b'chol avidin uman von, all different types of craftsmanship. This is not a literal translation. He's saying chidushim. Uvacharoishas even, he translates as an umnes, a trade. And then when it comes to the word meleches machashoves, again, umanvan. Again, the same consistent pattern of behavior for ungulus. Ungulus is very often reducing the complexity of the Hebrew language to a smaller number of words. He does this so often. Never really appreciated this until much more recently. This unkelus is taking the Torah, which has many, many different words, and is telling us, let's reduce the vocabulary to a smaller set of words. Here we have the word uvacharoshes. Charoshes means a chorosh. A chorosh. We have that by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he exiled Yehoyakim with a chorosh and the masker. What is the chorosh? The craftsman. Masker, the people who closed the gates, the military department. When Nebuchadnezzar was afraid that the Jewish people would rebel, 11 years before he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he exiled the people who he was afraid of. There are many perushim as to what this means. One interpretation is that Nebuchadnezzar, he exiled the craftsmen, the people who knew how to make weapons. They were very dangerous because if they would rebel against him, they would craft weapons to destroy the Nebuchadnezzar. So all of the people that had skills were called charoshim, were exiled in order that they should not be a threat. And the masker means to close the doors, the guardians, the strong, able-bodied people who served in the military and would guard the city. He did not want them around. He wanted the city to be vulnerable. They should not have weapons, and they should not have a military. See, nothing has changed. Today, the United States, you want to go to Iran, make a deal, Israel, Iran. What do we not want? We do not want Iran to have weapons. We don't want them to have scientists who are charoshim, who know how to make nuclear weapons. And we want to limit their military capabilities, their military, that's the masker. So here, we have two words, lachashay machashavis, and uvacharoshes even, a chorosh, and one who is choyshev machashavis, an unkelus is consistent with this pattern of behavior. He reduces these multiple words into one word, into the word of uve umonus. When it says even, he translates as an even tova, good stone. When it says lemalois, this is a very difficult word. So lemalois means to fill up. What are you filling up? So it would seem that every stone needs a setting. Everyone knows that a woman gets a diamond ring. It's not just the ring, it's the setting. Sometimes the setting can be even more expensive than the ring. Okay, so everything, it has to be a setting and a ring. So the malice, it's not just the stone. The stone, the beauty of the stone, is only brought out against the backdrop of a setting. So the even, a stone, lemalois, to fill a setting, cavity, what we call the mishpetzos, a mishpetzes. Uve umanus even tavo le'ashlamo, to fill up the setting, uve nagorus, a craftsman of wood, lemeban b'chol avidan uman von. Next. Ulaharois nasan belibai, who, now here's the pasuk, Ulaharois Hashem put in the heart of Bezalel, to teach, to instruct. I guess this means that there's an incredible insight over here in this pasuk, that not only did Bezalel need to be a wise man, not only did he need to master all of the different traits, he also needed workers, and he would need to teach, to recruit, and to train people who worked under him. He needs the skill of being a good educator. He taught. Who? He. And now we have another person. Aholiyah ben Achisamach. That was his name. Lamate Dan. Okay, what does the Targum say on this? Ule'alofo yahav belibe. To teach. He has to know how to learn. Lilmoid ulilameid. To learn and to teach. Who? Ve'aholiyah bar Achisamach ulishifta de Dan. What does Rashi say? Ve'aholiyah. Who is he? He is Mate Dan, Mishevet Dan, Min HaYerudin, Sheba Shevatim. Dan is from the Yerudin, he is from the lowliest of the Shevatim. Mibnei HaShvachet, who was Dan's mother? Dan was Zilpa, if I'm not mistaken. Dan's mother was Zilpa. And so he had a lower status. V'hishvahu ha'mokam le'vitzalel. And the Pasuk compares him to Bezalel came from Yehuda. So the most choshev of the Shvatim was Yehuda, and the least choshev of the Shvatim was Dan. And here the one that's building the Beis HaMikdash is going to be Yehuda and Dan. The Velachas HaMishkan, V'hu Migidol HaShvatim, L'kayim HaShenemar, V'lo Nikar Shoa Lifnei Dol. We're not going to give more credit to a Shoa. Shoa means to a gracious person. A person who is gracious. Shoya in the presence of a dol. Let me get a good translation of the word Shoa. Here I have my computer here, the dictionary for this word of Shoa. Let's get a precise translation. It's Shin Vav Ayin. Is that what it says here? Shin Vav Ayin. You know, it's not, they don't have such a great translation here. Very strange. Oh no. Translate from Hebrew. What's going on? One second here. Sorry. From Hebrew. Strange. All right.
It means a person that is a show means a distinguished person. Lifnei Dol. One of my very favorite verloch is, I'm sure you all seen that in the shul, you have on top of the Aron HaKodesh, very often you have two lions. So I have a theory as to why there are two lions on top of the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh in the shul is really, I mean, everything in the shul is really basically a replica or a miniaturization of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. Who built the Mishkan? You know, the shul, you have the Aron, is connected to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there's a Pareches, and we have, you know, the narrative, we have a menorah, we have, you know, the candelabra in front of the Amud, the Bima is like the Mizbeach, okay, the Amud is the Mizbeach HaZohav. We have the Bima and the Omer, the Mitzvah HaZav, the Mitzvah HaChitzayin. There are a lot of different things in the Shul which are all connected different elements in the Mishkan. Who built the Mishkan? Bezalel and Aholiyah ben Achisamach. Bezalel was from Shevet Yehuda. Aholiyah ben Achisamach was from Shevet Dan. In the Birchos Yaakov, what does it say about Shevet Yehuda? Gur Aryeh Yehuda. In the Birchos Yaakov, Yehuda is compared to a lion. In Moshe Rabbeinu, his brachos, we blessed Shevet Dan. It says Uladon Amar Don Gur Aryeh Yizanek Min Habashan. Dan is called a Gur Aryeh. So what is it? Is it Yehuda who's the Gur Aryeh, the lion? Or is it Dan who is the Gur Aryeh? And the answer is they're both. And what does Rashi here say? Rashi says that the Mikdash, the Mishkan, was built by the Gadol Sheb Shvatim, the greatest of the Shvatim, and the Pachusim Sheb Shvatim. Dan, to teach you, everyone is the same. When you come into the Beis HaKnesses, there's no discrimination. We don't discriminate between the rich and the poor, and the smart, and those that are not as successful in Chochma. Everyone is the same. The Loi Nikar Shaya Lifnei Dol. The Mishkan was built by a team of people. One came from the most Choshev, and one came from the Lis Choshev, to teach you that there is no discrimination in the Beis HaKnesses. Everyone is equal before Hashem on their level. And as a message, everyone should know that the Mishkan was built by two of the leaders, one from Shevet Yehuda and one from Shevet Dan. So in our Beis HaKnesses, we do the same thing. In the center of the Beis HaKnesses, on top of the Aron HaKodesh, there's an ancient minhag to have two lions. One lion corresponds to Bezalel. Bezalel from Shevet Yehuda. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. And the other line corresponds to Oholiyof, who comes from Shevet Dan. Uledon Omar Dan Gur Aryeh Yizaneik Min HaBashan, to teach you that in every Beis HaKnesses there is to be no discrimination. Everyone is equal, everyone is choshuv, and everyone has the same equal opportunity to come and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as says in the Pasuk, V'lo Nikar Shoya Lifnei Dan. We're not going to give any recognition to the rich in the presence of the poor. The poor are all the same. Okay, that Vart was an old Vart. Sort of that Vart in the Kollel when it first started many, many years ago. Okay, incredible thing over here. All the different elements that he has the ability to teach, he has the ability to learn a craft. There's a lot of repetition, if you notice. I don't know why there's so much repetition. Obviously, there's very significant reasons. Let's just show the one more passage very quickly. Mili Yosam, Hashem filled him up. Chochma Sleif. Okay, we learned in the Targum, we embed what the Targum is going to say. He filled him up with Chochma. No, look at this. This is unique. Look at this. Is amazing. Here it says Leif. It says Chochma. He does not say Re'usa in this passage. He does not say the desire. Fill him up with the wisdom of the heart, says Kol Melech, has all of the work of Chorosh v'Choshev. Chorosh is a craftsman. What's a Choshev? A Choshev means an umness, a craft. Chorosh is the both. Isn't this funny? Didn't we have both of these words are the same thing? We have to see. V'Roikim, embroidery, Batacheles, Uragamon, purple, Tlashani, scarlet, Vashesh is linen, V'Oire is to weave. What's the difference between the word roikim and the word oireik? Aren't they the same? I don't know. Oisek ha-melacha v'choshev machashavas. Let's see how the English translates this. Have been endowed with the skill to do any work of the carver, the designer, the embroiderer, in blue, purple, crimson, yarn, crimson yarns, and in fine linen, and of the weaver. Okay, so embroidery is not the same thing as weaving. As workers in all crafts and as makers of all of designs. Targum ashleim imhoin. I will fill them up. Chakimus libo lemebad kol avidas nagor. All the work of a craftsman. The oman, these two words mean really the same thing. A nagor is a craftsman. And an oman is also a craftsman. Vitzayor, what's a tzayor? A tzayor, it's the reikim, the creator. I don't know what these words are. There's a lot of going on over here. It's very complicated. It's extremely complicated. You don't hear people really dwell upon this. It's extremely complicated, these words in this pasuk. In order to make sense out of them and to understand the richness, the depth of what it really means to say. But betichla will be our gevona, betzva zohar, we had this before, means the color that's crimson. Uvevutsa is linen. We had it before. Umachei Ovdei, and to weave, Umachei Ovdei called Ivida Umalfei, and to Umalfei means to teach. See, over here means the Choshev Machashavas means, I think, to learn or to teach. I'm not sure what it means. Let's see, it's Rashi. No Rashi, wow. Is there at some of this last word of this? Let's finish up over here in this Pasuk. Of hey, pasuk of hey, he says over here, lamed hey, no, doesn't say very much. Unbelievable. All right, incredible. All right, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of very nice things here. I hope you got something out of this. Yerushim tomorrow is already Thursday. Time goes by so fast. So tomorrow we learn Sidur. Okay, maybe it's already coming Purim time. Maybe we'll see. We'll see what we're gonna do tomorrow. All right. Thank you very much, Blazer. Thank you for coming, Norman. Thank you for coming, Mr. and Mrs. Glatter.
All right.
Celebrity couple. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
My
thank
pleasure.
You
thank you. Thank you. You give me.
Regards to you from Rabbi Garfinkel.
Oh, Rabbi Garfinkel. How is he?
His Baruch Hashem. He gives a shiur every Tuesday night.
No, it's okay. Don't worry. Of course.
And I told him, and I told Rabbi Garfinkel that we listened to Rabbi Levine. He says, oh, he's a Talmud Chacham. He said, please send him my regards.
Okay, thank you very much. He's a very nice person.
Yeah.
His wife is here now, or she's in Eretz Yisrael?
She's in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
Yeah.
She goes there a lot.